WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. There's an Illinois government department that's responsible for nearly 25,000 children throughout the state. The Department of Children and Family Services handles reports of child abuse and neglect, regulates child care facilities, and places children with foster and adoptive families. It also has the power to remove children from their families in cases of abuse or neglect. Now, its stated mission is to protect children and even help families care for their children, but it has been riddled with dysfunction over the years. Last year, a report found that DCFS failed to report abuse to schools in 96% of cases where there was credible evidence. And in just 8 years, the department has cycled through 11 directors. But there might be a change coming. In January, Governor J.B. Pritzker nominated Heidi Miller, who previously headed Illinois' Juvenile Justice Department, for the post. She passed the state Senate confirmation without a single no vote. She's been in the role for about 6 months now, so I sat down with her, and you'll hear her in just a few minutes. But first, I talked with Cassandra West, a journalist who recently reported on the state of the DCFS for Crane's Chicago Business. Here's Cassandra.
As their mission says, you know, is to protect the welfare of children. But over the years, stemming from a consent decree that was triggered by a lawsuit by the ACLU over 30 years ago, a lot of has shown that that mission hasn't been lived up to, and cases of abuse and neglect weren't reported. And Governor Pritzker in 2021 signed two bills, one of which created a racial disproportionality task force to look at more Black kids are in the child welfare system in a disproportionate rate to their numbers in the state. In fact, in Cook County, 67.1% of the kids in child welfare and foster care are Black, but they represent 23.7% of all children in the county.
Help us understand then, Cassandra, how that racial disparity that you just outlined, how that's connected with the dysfunction that's been seen in the department.
I don't know what caseworkers make their decisions on, but as I spoke with Director Mueller recently, you know, there's a lot that has to be considered when a caseworker shows up to investigate a case. In some cases, we saw through our reporting and people with whom we spoke that families are dealing with financial struggles and they can't take care of their kids. And because of that, they lack the means to get proper representation that could help them fight the case. And we know just based on statistics, the percentage of Black families and children in the county and in the state, the rate of poverty is higher. So that's right. A big factor.
So tell us about the turn of events last year that led to the resignation of the previous director, Mark Smith.
Well, he had a lot of issues, you know, that were highlighted in a report from the Public Guardian and others. I just think the governor realized that it was time to bring in some new leadership. You know, there was, you know, allegations of mismanagement of funds, children reporting abuse, not being investigated. We spoke with a young man who said he had been abused in several, and he had been shifted from one foster home to the next, and it took weeks for the caseworker, for anybody to investigate or do anything to address his issue.
So for a department so usually fraught with issues, Heidi Miller's confirmation was smooth. It was unanimous, in fact. Why was there such confidence?
You know, she came, I think, with a strong record from where she was previously in the Department of Juvenile Justice. But I think, you know, the governor realized that 11 directors in 8 years, that was just too much. There were other news stories that were pointing out the problems that had been going on. And also this disproportionality needed to be addressed. And I think the Black Caucus, the Illinois Black Caucus, and other advocates for child welfare just realized that it was time to make a change.
That's Cassandra West from Crane Chicago Business reporting on the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. Thank you, Cassandra.
Sure.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we're going to hear from the director of the Department of Children and Family Services, Heidi Miller. Thank you so much for joining us in studio. You are now about 6 months into the job. A few weeks ago.
Not even
6 months, right? A few weeks ago, I had a guest on the program and they called it an impossible job. Does it feel that way to you, Heidi?
Well, I don't think I would call it impossible because I don't think I would take the job unless I thought that I could have a positive impact. I will say coming in, definitely a scary job. A very big job, a very challenging job, but not impossible.
So I asked Cassandra a few moments ago about why she thought that there was such confidence when it came to sort of bringing you in for a transition. What do you think?
Well, I really think part of it is the fact that I am a known quantity within the governor's office, within the legislature. I previously was director of another state agency, the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice, and my team and I there were able to really have a lot of success in making some big transformation within that department, really reducing the number of kids in the system, improving, you know, particularly behavioral health services for kids, and moving the department out of two consent decrees. Mm-hmm. And so I think just having that experience, having folks be familiar with my work really helped them feel more comfortable with me coming into this role.
Yeah. So you mentioned a moment ago the challenges. I want you to talk more about some of the challenges that you're facing, because, of course, you knew that this was going to be a big task. It was a big job. What were the immediate challenges, like from day one?
Well, I think immediately, you know, for me, one of the reasons I took the job was because I had the experience within Department of Juvenile Justice, getting to know kids, learning their stories, and really understanding that the vast majority of kids in the juvenile justice system had touched the child welfare system first. And so it was very compelling for me to think about moving further upstream and trying to do everything we possibly can to get kids and families what they need earlier on, so they don't end up in these carceral systems.
Yeah.
And so an immediate challenge was just trying to understand, you know, where are the gaps? Where are we seeing gaps in our services? What are the needs that we're seeing? Where are we falling down? Where are kids falling through the cracks? Another immediate challenge was, you know, really just something identified by the media, and that is our kids with really acute behavioral health needs, high-end mental health needs, complex medical needs, just making sure that we have the kind of individualized, developmentally appropriate, and therapeutic care that those kids deserve, and making sure that we're doing a good job of, you know, getting them that care, mm-hmm. and then helping those kids transition to a home, because that's where kids really want to be.
You've talked in the past about right-sizing the DCFS. Can you expand on that?
Yeah. One of the things I noticed coming in immediately was that we have had a steady upward trajectory in the number of hotline reports, investigations, and, you know, as a result, in the number of kids coming into care. Now, I will say prior to me, DCFS had done a really good job of becoming a leader in the field in sort of not taking kids into care. So we actually don't take a large percentage of kids into our care. In FY23, it was about 5%. But because we're getting such a steady increase in hotline reports and investigations, it means more kids are coming into care. Mm-hmm. And that's not a sustainable trend. It's obvious, you know, you need more staff, you need human beings to serve kids and families well. And if we have a continuously increasing pipeline of people coming in, we'll never be able to hire our way out of that.
Yeah.
We also recognize some of the things that Cassandra said. You know, we're grappling with this history of child welfare, not just in Illinois, but across the country, and sort of the history of systemic racism within child welfare, the history of removing kids from families, particularly Black and Brown families. And so those are things that, you know, are really on my mind as I'm coming in. So when I talk about right-sizing, I really am talking about what Cassandra really teed up well in her article, which is that we need to make sure that no kids are coming into this system of abuse and neglect just because the families need resources. We want to make sure that there are lots of front-end services that keep families together, that support children, that provide for their behavioral health needs, so they don't ever have to touch us at all. And if they do end up touching us, we want to do everything we possibly can to wrap around families mm-hmm. and wrap around kids so kids can stay at home in their communities, surrounded by the people they know and love.
Many advocates have talked about this focus that they want on prevention over intervention. You're nodding because I think you know what I mean here. What does that mean to you, though? And is it something that the DCFS is working toward?
Absolutely. I think prevention means a few different things. For me, it means, just like I said, actually working with our sister agencies, with community providers, you know, looking at our own policies to make sure that if at all possible, people don't have to enter our system in the first place. So there are lots of things that I consider prevention that might not traditionally be considered prevention. Things like making sure there's affordable housing, making sure that there's good, high quality mental health care in communities that people can access, that's culturally responsive in the language that people speak. We also think about, you know, programs to make sure that families get adequate childcare and health care and, you know, good high quality schools. All those things are part of prevention. And obviously that's sort of outside the scope of DCFS. From our perspective, you know, we're really looking at how can we invest in partnership with some of our sister agencies, working with the Children's Behavioral Health Transformation and Dr. Dana Weiner to sort of make sure that we can help provide support for families to keep them from touching DCFS. Mm-hmm. But for me, prevention is also about preventing kids from penetrating the system more deeply. So that means things like evidence-based wraparound services. It means things like providing increased financial assistance for guardians and for intact families to ensure that they can be safe and stable at home. And it means providing really good, high-quality behavioral health care to kids and families in a home setting to prevent them from escalating into needing, you know, more intensive psychiatric care or mm-hmm. residential treatment.
We've been talking with Heidi Miller, who's director of the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. Thank you so much for making the time, Heidi.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Jules Yeager, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Max Lubers. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so that you never miss a new episode. We feature local stories and the latest news on the pod. You can also check out our website at wbez.org/reset to see our full archive of conversations. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. I'll talk to you this afternoon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely